Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the dark night. Faith sees the day. Doubt ceases to take the step. Faith leaps on high. Doubt says, who believes? Faith says, I. That statement comes from an old divine, I know not who. Welcome back to the God School. We are studying the epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Hebrews. We're in the 11th chapter. I want to go back to the first chapter, to the opening phrase, wherein it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Last week, we taught on Elijah, considered by many the greatest prophet in Israel. Not necessarily my opinion, but we'll just put that out there. We use the 32nd verse and of the prophets to open to look at part of Elijah's life. I want to continue in this 32nd verse of Hebrews 11, wherein Paul says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. We find this the beginning of the story of Gideon back in the 6th chapter of the book of Judges. Now, I'm making the time to speak of Gideon. I'm not going to go verse by verse. Go read it for yourself. Because I want to tell you something. This is an unbelievable story. You know, in my first exposure to God in the Catholic Church, I remember there was an attitude of, oh yeah, well, the Bible is a bunch of poetic stories and old wives' tales, and it's just there, and it's accumulation, and you can believe it or not believe it. Doesn't make any difference. Do this, do that, do the other thing. And don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing, and you'll be just fine with God. A couple of weeks ago, we taught on Jehoshaphat. Where the declaration by the Spirit of God was, the battle is not yours, but God's. And at that time, they didn't have to lift so much as a shield, and God took care of their enemies. This story of Gideon is almost more unbelievable. What God did with this man of Israel . The chapter opens and it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. They were under horrible oppression. And the seventh verse says, "And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites that the Lord sent a prophet." And said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Ye have not hearkened diligently unto what I said. Ye have not run to the voice of the sayer, who in this instance is the Lord your God." The 11th verse opens and says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon is probably the more proper pronunciation, and his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." I want you to get this picture. They're under the oppression of their enemies 7 years. And we encounter a guy who's in a wine press threshing wheat. Now, you don't thresh wheat in a wine press unless you're hiding. And it tells you that he might hide it from his oppressors. And the angel of the Lord, if you don't put flesh and blood on this story, folks, the opportunity to come to know the ways of God might pass you by. I have a note in my Bible. It says Gideon was the poorest and most discouraged soul, or the poorest and most discouraged soul can identify with Gideon. This guy's threshing wheat. He's trying to get enough for a day. And he has to hide from his enemies to do it. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, King James, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You know, there's nothing in the previous description of Gideon that would suggest he was a mighty man of valor. And the translators in this instance got it wrong, because the literal of the original says, the Lord is with thee, the one, that is the Lord, mighty in valor. God is standing before him, who declares himself the one mighty in valor, I hope that, like me, you can identify with Gideon. Listen to his words. God is standing right in front of him, and he says, pardon me, Lord. Notation in the margin. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us. Immediately he begins asking questions. Pardon me, you might be God, but pardon me. If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. Dr. Scott used to call this the language of doubt. If, why, where? If you go on to the 15th verse, wherewith? I'm the least. Gideon had a pretty factual view of what was going on, and not a faithing view of the Lord our God. What was God's response to this doubting one? And the Lord looked upon him, that is Gideon, and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? For 4 months, we've been talking of another one sent of the Lord, that is Jesus Christ, the apostle, sent one, and high priest. Who condescended to that mission. Condescended. He never knew anything but the presence of God, and he condescended and became flesh, became kinned, if you will, with us. That he, that is Jesus, that is the one mighty in valor, might deliver us. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, and Gideon said unto the Lord, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. I'm the youngest. Who am I? And the Lord said unto Gideon, surely I will be with thee. Thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. This is the word of the Lord. And, you know, it's really amazing, but I can identify with this guy. Here is the Lord appearing to him, having a conversation with him. He's questioning the Lord, and the Lord just says, have not I sent thee? I will be with thee. And Gideon just keeps talking. And then he has the temerity. He says, if now I found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. You go on and read that story about his, you know, hey, stay here, God, let me go prepare a meal offering. What is the meal offering? It's self-righteous works. Let me do this, God. Let me show you what I can do for you. Self-righteous works. Will you just let me go about my way? I have to get about taking care of myself. But let me do this. After that little encounter and confrontation in the 23rd verse, it says, and the Lord said to him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. The altar, it's a place of death. It's a place of dedication. It's a place of, in this case, surrender. Jehovah Shalom, what a wonderful name of God. He is outwardly expressing this as a result of his experience, new perception of his relationship with God. oh, this guy is going to be a great one for God. He went to the altar. It's all settled. Jehovah Shalom. Read on. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father has, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but that he did it by night. He feared, but he did it. He's having a personal relationship with God. Have not I sent thee? I will be with thee. Oh, Jehovah Shalom. And he gets instructions, and he feared, so he did it by night. But he did it. And you read the story. About Gideon cutting down this altar, this grove to Baal, and the altar that he cast down. And they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead with Baal? Will you save him, that is Baal? He that will plead for him, that is Baal, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him, that is Gideon, Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has thrown down the altar. So as you go through this story in the next couple of chapters about Gideon, oftentimes you're going to hear him referred to as Jerubbaal. And it means, let Baal contend. Here's one standing for the God, the creator of the universe, Baal, symbol of the devil, God of this world. Let the God of this world contend with this one whom God has sent, whom God has assured that he would be with him. And it says in the 34th verse, but the Spirit of the Lord, King James, came upon Gideon. I'm so happy. In this case, they at least put a marginal note in here, which says, and the Spirit of the Lord clothed, and the literal is, clothed himself on Gideon. In this Christian walk, as we forget, as we begin to operate in faith, stumbling though it may be, the good news of the gospel of God is that for that faith, God gives us His Holy Spirit. Here is a picture, clothed himself upon Gideon. And as we have said a few times in this series, oh man, that should be it, right? Straight up to heaven. Put him in the speed elevator. No, nonstop, just straight up. It's not the way of God. Here is a key name. And you know, names in the Old Testament mean something. Names in the Bible mean something. And the Spirit of the Lord clothed himself upon Gideon. And he, that is Gideon, blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. Abiezer means my father is help. My father is help. What's your condition today? We have multiplied times the promises and record of God's faithfulness than Gideon did. And we have, by this name, a promise, my father is help. Now, he's gone, he's done all this, he's had this relationship, he built an altar, called it Jehovah Shalom. He's surrendered. He's not using that language of doubt. You know, if, why, where has forsaken us, wherewith, and you have the story in these following verses of chapter 6, where, you know, Gideon has confidence, but he wants to test God's further. And this is called Gideon's fleece. Read about it. He says, you know, if you're God, I'm going to do this and you do that, and then I'll know. And God does just what he asked him. He didn't, you know, smite him dead for questioning again. And God does it. And Gideon turns around and says, well, I know you did it there, but you know, God, and he reverses the order. He says, now show me. And God condescended to do again what Gideon asked. He sought a sign. When we come to the New Testament, Jesus, but it was demanded of Jesus by the people that he show them a sign. He was who he said he was. But we have in this New Testament context something new. It is faith. It is without signs, although Jesus said, I'll give you one, like as Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. Son of man, 3 days and three nights in the grave. That's the only sign Jesus gave that he was who he said he was. And every record of the New Testament says he came out of that tomb. He came out of that tomb because his Father raised him up. Because his Father, who helped him, raised him up. Now, you know, you said pretty much at the beginning of this message, Don, that this was an unbelievable story. Well, you know, so far, I can relate, and I hope you can relate to Gideon's experience, but now, having condescended to his continuing questioning whether he was really God or not, God is going to put something on Gideon that really, really sounds unbelievable. And the seventh chapter opens. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. That is terror. So that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. How many churches give instruction to God's people as to how they are to save themselves, lest Israel vaunt themselves, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore, go proclaim in the ears of this people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000. And there remained 10,000. That means they had a total of 32,000 people gathered to go to war. God says, people's too many. Because they might think it was their power that saved them. God got rid of, it says, 22,000 left. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I'll try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. God's choice. God's choice. So he brought them down unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with the tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300. The picture is a man upon his feet, reaching down with his hand, pulling some water out, putting it to his mouth while he was looking around, while he was reconnoitering, if you will, the situation, making sure that he was prepared, versus those who just dove in the water and got themselves liquid to satisfy themselves, not being aware of what they were being called to. And the seventh verse of the seventh chapter of the book of Judges says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into your hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. There were 250,000 Midianites, men of this world. There were of Israel at that time gathered 32,000. men of Israel, God dismissed one group, 22,000 at a time. God dismissed another group, 9,700. And he left 300 to enjoin in battle with 250,000. That's unbelievable. That's impossible. But oftentimes over the years, we have taught of that one name of God, not necessarily recognized as a name, but that name, Jehovah Pele, the one who spoke to Abraham and Sarah about a birth of a son that they would have, which was impossible. The name spoken unto the parents of Samson, Jehovah Pele. We are having a relationship with the God of impossibilities. And you go on to read the rest of the story of Gideon. And though he started out in doubt, he, by faith, did listen to God and did obey God. And 40 years of peace were entered in to the land of Israel by God and a man of faith called Gideon. That's why he gets in to this chapter called The Heroes of Faith, that is the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, wherein it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. God is not looking for mighty men of valor. That is a misdirection perpetuated on much of the church because of a poor translation by the King James translators. God is looking, God, the one mighty in valor, is looking for those who will trust him. And in that state, God may have us in a situation that looks impossible. But to those he has called, to those he has chosen, He has promised that He shall be with us. The scripture says that these passages were given for our instruction. God said He had sent Gideon. Go in this thy might, have not I sent thee? When you recognize who's the one in charge, God. We go in His might. He said He would be with us. That's our hope. We may not see it, but the one who promised is ever faithful. We have the promise that of Jesus Christ, that He would be with us always. How great is the God who has called us? How great is the God who has chosen us? How great is the God who has sent us? There still may be some doubt in this life of faith, as there was in Gideon. He feared, so he did it at night, but he did it. How great is this gift of faith that God has given us? Let us continue to walk in it, acting on His promises. Though we may fear, yet nonetheless, we shall do it. Let us go in this our might. God has sent us and promised that He would be with us. And that's the God School for today.